It's Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, when you think about mummies, you probably think of Egypt and King Tut. But Gemma Tarlak of Discover Magazine tells us there are mummies all over the world, and a lot of them are women.
First, Governor Scott Walker announced last week he was talking with President Trump's administration about adapting Act 10 for federal employees.
Act 10, which was implemented amid widespread protests here in Wisconsin back in 2011, sharply curtailed collective bargaining rights for state employees. Among other things, it restricts state employees' ability to bargain for better working conditions, limits pay increases, and requires them to pay more for their health insurance and pension plans.
Governor Walker said he met with Vice President Mike Pence recently to discuss which parts of Act 10 could be adopted by the federal government. Here's his account of the meeting.
We've talked about what we've done here in Wisconsin, how they might take bits and pieces of what we did with Act 10 and with civil service reform and how they could apply to that at the national level.
Patrick Marley joins us now. He covers state government and politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's the co-author with fellow reporter Jason Stein of More Than They Bargained For, Scott Walker, Unions, and the Fight for Wisconsin. Patrick, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on.
You point out in your article that the first 2 weeks of the Trump administration seems eerily reminiscent of what happened in Wisconsin in 2011. Can you draw some similarities for us?
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels there. I mean, when Governor Walker was elected within a month, he introduced what became Act 10, and that resulted in these massive protests, you know, the biggest that Madison had seen since the Vietnam era, and there were protests elsewhere in the state. Of course, the day after Trump was elected, we saw this women's march that was very large in Washington, D.C., very large in Madison, I think the biggest protest in Madison since Act 10. And then you've seen a little bit of the Democrats in the U.S. Senate skipping meetings to try to block nominations. That has some resemblance to the state senators leaving the state for 3 weeks to try to stop Act 10.
Yeah, so those are some of the similarities. Well, looking at in 2011, Walker and Republicans in the legislature, they pushed to limit collective bargaining for public workers. What moves are you seeing at the national level that indicate the federal government could gain traction on weakening unions?
Well, Governor Walker said that he met, as you had that clip, met with Mike Pence, talked about it, said Mike Pence was interested in doing Act 10 at a national level. Now, there's some significant differences between public sector unions in Wisconsin and, or at least the way they were constructed before Act 10 and at the federal level. In Wisconsin, before Act 10, they had full bargaining rights. Federal employees, by and large, cannot bargain over their wages, but they can bargain over other things like workplace safety and those kinds of things. That could all be withdrawn if Congress and Trump are so inclined.
Well, let's hear a clip now of Governor Walker and what he could say is using parts of Act 10 to limit collective bargaining. Here's what his outlines his motivation.
It's something that they're interested in. The vice president's brought up before. Newt Gingrich, former Speaker Gingrich, has brought it up multiple times. Others have. Certainly something we're willing to offer our assistance on, particularly if it helps improve not just the nation, but in turn helps improve the ability to be better stewards of taxpayers' dollars here in Wisconsin.
So, Patrick Marley, what do you see that's in this for Governor Walker?
I don't know if what specifically would be in it for the governor, other than it would maybe burnish his image a little more nationally. If the members of Congress were wanting to go along with this, they could look to Wisconsin as a model, and he could say that he led the way there. I think he would like having that kind of reputation.
We're talking with Patrick Marley, who covers state government and politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're looking at parallels between Act 10 policy and protests in Wisconsin and what's going on at the federal level. As you mentioned, last week we saw U.S. senators boycotting committee meetings to try to block approval of two of Trump's nominees. And this move has rekindled that memory of Wisconsin Democrats who fled the state in 2011 in that effort to stop implementation of Act 10. Do you think those actions ultimately will be helpful or harmful to Democrats?
Well, that is the great question. That's why I wrote this story, because a lot of the protests against Trump have been compared to sort of the mirror image of the Tea Party. You know, when Obama was elected, a year later they enacted the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and you started seeing this outpouring of opposition, people showing up at a bunch of congressional meetings, raising questions, and of course, 2 years later, 2010 was a very good year for Republicans. So there's been sort of this national comparison to what's happening now and asking, is this the Democratic version of the Tea Party? And that may be the case. I mean, we don't know. It's also possible that it is more like Act 10 the response to Act 10, in that there's this early opposition and many people speaking out and protesting and getting involved in the political process, but then being unsuccessful at the ballot box. Of course, the Democrats had a couple of victories with recalls of state senators, but ultimately did not change the, I mean, they briefly flipped the Senate, but at a time when they were out of session, it didn't matter. So the legislature today remains in Republican hands. They held this election, this recall election for Governor Walker. He won that and then went on to win re-election. So despite that early energy, it was not very useful to Democrats in terms of the ability to get their policies in place.
And we've drawn the similarities between the current protests we're seeing at the national level and these 2011 protest actions here in Wisconsin. Talk a little bit about some the dissimilar things about what's going on here between Wisconsin and what's going on nationally.
I talked to U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, who was in the state legislature at the time, and he made the point that Act 10 was a fight that was over one issue. It was this collective bargaining of public sector employees, which is very important to teachers and other public workers and their families and other people who might know them, important to private sector unions, but to many voters didn't have a lot of resonance for them, especially when you have the election more than a year after the policy is enacted. These protests that we're seeing now are over many other issues. You know, you had the Women's March, which was really billed as a women's march, but many issues were raised in those protests. I don't think they had an overriding theme. You had this response to the immigration ban and these spontaneous protests at airports. You've had this response to at the legislative level, I think you've seen a big response to Betsy DeVos and the Democrats hoping that they could get a final vote to prevent her. And so Pocan's comment was that this Act 10 was a single issue. This is a single guy. It's sort of this response to Trump. And so I really think, you know, how the 2018 elections go are going to depend on what the public's perception of the president is.
But are there lessons from Act 10 in Wisconsin that we might see Republican politicians applying at the national level?
Yeah, I think both sides have lessons to learn from Act 10. You know, the Republicans learned that they can power through controversy. You know, that there were at the early stages of Act 10, it looked like they were in pretty grave danger, that they could really lose a lot of members through recalls, that for a time it wasn't even clear if they were going to be able to pass Act 10. And they found that they could stick together, they could generate their base, that the Dem base was the one that first got very focused on this issue. They were able to transfer that energy or get their base as excited about it and generate fundraising and excitement about the issue nationwide. Don't undercut the fact that Reince Priebus is, was involved in that fight. He's now chief of staff to the president. Paul Ryan witnessed all that as a member of the congressional delegation from Wisconsin.
And finally, Governor Walker didn't endorse President Trump during the election, but started supporting him after he got the nomination. And now he says he'll help him apply Act 10 on a federal level. Do you see this alignment with the Trump administration and lending a hand via Act 10? Will this influence Governor Walker's future in politics?
Well, it's going to certainly have an effect on Governor Walker's reelection campaign. I mean, it looks like he's going to run for re-election. He hasn't formally announced. But after a year of keeping his distance from Trump, you know, first by saying he wanted Trump to be defeated as the nominee when Walker dropped out of the race for president, and then endorsing Trump, Ted Cruz, and then finally coming around to Trump, now he's embraced the president and So, again, if Trump is popular in 2018, that will be very good for Scott Walker. If Trump's numbers are very low, the Democrats will be painting Walker as a tool of the president, and that will hurt him in the election.
Patrick, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
That was Patrick Marley, who covers state government and politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us to look at parallels between Act 10 policy and protests in Wisconsin with what's going on right now at the federal level.